Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I am Betsy McLaughlin, and I'm so happy that you're joining us. Thank you so much. Whether you're listening to us live or the replay, we're so happy you're here. And my guest today, I love the topic that we're going to be talking about. One of my favorite things in the world, and I've talked about them all the time on the show, is animals. The amazing contribution that animals are to us. So our guest today is Ashley, and Ashley, how do you say your last name so I don't butcher it?
It's quite the handle. My last name is McCaughey,
yeah, because I was looking at it going, I think the second C is silent, but I'm not sure, so.
Yeah, it's quite the handle, Betsy. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're so welcome. I just know her as Ashley, you know, Ashley M, and, you know, just you normally just don't even say your last name. So, yeah, anyhow, we're going to be talking all about animals and what difference can we be for animals, and not coming from the place of we have to save them, but we're going to talk about it kind of from a different angle. Ashley was born and raised in Alberta, Canada, and she's been surrounded by all sorts of animals. 9 years ago, she discovered the tools of access consciousness. As you guys know, if you listen to this radio show at all, you know that we talk lots and lots about the tools and the questions and how using them have pretty much every guest that I've had on, including myself, how these questions and tools have changed everything about our lives. So I'm really curious to hear how using it has changed things for her and for all the animals in her life. So welcome to the show, Ashley. So,
I'm like, I don't even know where to start. There's so many, like, as you said, I've been around animals my whole entire life. I think, like, today it's really cold here in Alberta, and it's like -8 degrees Fahrenheit, which would be -22 degrees Celsius. And
that's
of
cold.
Course, the horses. The horses needed to be their hooves to be trimmed today, so the farrier was out. And
oh my!
I just was asking them questions of like, what did they actually want me to talk about? So, they're like right in my face, and I'm not sure where to start with all of this. But yeah, it just the tools of access consciousness have actually gotten me to a space where I can receive from the animals around me, especially the ones that own me.
So would you explain a little bit more even about what you mean there for somebody who, you know, might not quite get what we're talking about as far as receiving from the animals?
Sure. So, I mean, a lot of people get an animal and think that an animal, they have to, you know, save them or look after them or, you know, they're the more superior being than what their animal is. And that actually cuts off all receiving from them. Because there's times where I'll go on a trail ride and my horse won't walk by something, and I'll be like, okay, dude, what do you know? And like, mm-hmm. what is this? More or less. Like, go ahead, Betsy.
Yeah, no, I was just, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. And this is one of the things with the radio, sometimes we have delay, so just so you know. And with the, I can't remember, I had a recent conversation, radio show, with somebody where we were talking about the gift that horses are. And, you know, so then here we are again on today's show talking about horses. And I know you have other animals that I'm sure we're going to get, examples from. But you said, you know, the horse didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. And so instead of getting mad at the horse and trying to force it to do something that it clearly didn't want to do, you instead went to, hey, what do you know here that I'm not aware of? So would you talk a little bit more about how changing that in your, like, in your life, how that is kind of rippled out to all different areas?
Well, it gets me to the point where I like ask more questions, and a horse is always a horse. Well, all animals, but a horse always seems to be, they don't function from judgment. They're just space. So mm-hmm. if your horse is just space and he is not judging you, then that allows you to be that much space as well. So then you're more space. And let me tell you, there's been times where I haven't been space around my animals and my horse will let me know. He will literally walk away from me, like, get out of here, lady.
mm-hmm.
So go ahead, Betsy.
Well, with that whole conversation about space, I've had different conversations with people who have explained this, because before these conversations, I had no clue that there was a difference with this and how you can be and how the animals will react to with the place and the space that you're being. And so it's really fascinating to have these conversations where they're like, yeah, they really are in tune with you energetically. And if you're constricted, they really don't want to be part of it. And, you know, so it's a yeah. really interesting reminder to be like, okay, looking at what the animal is doing, and then instead of getting frustrated with the animal, you actually are like, okay, what am I doing here?
One, this is like an old horse saying, but your horse is a little bit of a mirror of your soul, which that's, I mean, not access tools.
That's fine.
That's from before access. But if you're not energetically congruent with your animals, it's not also going to work out to your advantage either. And a horse will always show you where you're functioning from.
That's so, okay, so say again the old saying.
The old saying is like, a horse is a mirror of your soul.
Wow. There's a lot of gifts there.
Yeah. And I mean, also with horses, like, it's funny, I've taken quite a few horse classes with the amazing Susie Godsey and Gary Douglas, because Gary Douglas says everything he's learned in his life, he's learned from a horse. And that's true. I mean, for me, everything mm-hmm. I've learned, I've actually learned from a horse. And what's interesting is I will not eat shit from a horse.
Mm. So what do you mean?
They're amazing. So, I mean, a horse is anywhere from, you know, he's 20 times my size.
Right.
I have my space and he has his space.
Okay.
If I'm walking and he decides that he's going to run over me, I have to be a certain energy to make him behave.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not willing to be that energy, you will eat shit from a horse. Which is funny because I'm that way with animals and horses, but I'm not so much that energy when it comes to people, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Oh, it actually does.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it, the tools of...
I'm sorry, honey. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you. Okay, so if the horse is holding up a mirror to you, so the horse is just this amazing. How has that changed your life?
Well, it's changed my life from the space of, like, I'm more space when I'm with my horse. And if I go to the space of, you know, upset or trauma and drama, my horse and I have a pretty good deal, and he will get me back to being present. And he's so kind that is like a nudge with his nose, or he'll step on my foot. Whereas other horses may just buck you off.
Okay. So that's really just interesting stuff here. So what are some, so you've been around horses your whole life. Is that pretty, what's a little bit of your background with horses and animals?
So I chose parents that had horses. So I think there's a picture in my baby book of me on my first horse when I was 6 months old. And then I actually, once I got old enough to actually go riding in the mountains and chase cattle, that was the horse that I actually ended up riding for quite a few years. And his name was Nipper. And I've just been, you know, so grateful that they've actually been in my life contributing to everything that I'm creating. And I actually asked them to.
So you asked them. So tell us what you asked them.
So I asked them lots of things, but when it comes to contributing to my life, if it's literally, so I have a dog also. I also am like, okay, handsome. Okay, Newton. We require more cash. So can you please contribute to more money showing up right away?
And then what happens?
Money shows up. And it never shows up the way that you think it will either.
So give us a couple of examples. I love this.
So an example, so 6 years ago, I actually purchased my black gelding Newton from my grandfather, and I lived in small town Alberta, and my backyard was not big enough for a horse, and the bylaws won't actually let you have a horse in your backyard. So I actually was talking to him, like, what's it going to take? Like, where would you like to live? And he could have gone, like, my dad has a farm, and I had a couple other options for him to go, but none of it felt really light. So I actually just kept asking him, okay, Newton, what's it going to take? We require a place for you to live. And 2 months later, I had met a gentleman, and 5 months later, we had moved to his acreage, the dog and the horse and myself, and we had a place to live for 5.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really amazing when you actually start asking them to contribute to your life. And then that gifting and receiving just keeps growing and expanding.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool, actually.
Yeah. How does it get even more delicious than that? And okay, can you think of another example? Put you on the spot here.
That's okay. Another example is it's been, it was 5.5 years that this gentleman and I were together, and it wasn't working out any longer. And I asked the same thing. Okay, you guys, we require a place to live. What magic can you contribute to us finding a place? And right now I live on a beautiful acreage just outside of like a big city, and my dogs are welcome as well as my horse. So they've created another place for me to live, and my horse doesn't have to be 20 minutes away from me. I can actually go out and feed him every day, which that makes him very, very happy.
That's awesome. So how did that show up?
It literally just showed up. I asked, and I actually live with a lovely lady by the name of Deb Antonson. It's on her place. And she just said, hey, I know things aren't good in your life right now. If you require a place to live, I have space. And you just bring your horse.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the more you're... Yeah. And the more you're willing to ask for them to contribute to you, the more they will contribute.
The more they do. I knew you were going to say that. Oh, that's me too. I'll find out what other magic Ashley has created with the animals in her life after this break.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Are you looking to change anything in your life, to have an even greater appreciation of everything around you? Would you enjoy having a life of more joy and greater abundance and explore what is possible for you? My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I invite you to explore simple and pragmatic tools that I share on my radio show, Imperfect Brilliance. I know firsthand that you can change anything. We explore tools and questions with amazing guests, offering all kinds of conversations on living your best life. I invite you to listen in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to Imperfect Brilliance. Consider a coaching call with me and let's explore what you would like your life to be like. Visit my website at www.creatingyumminess.com, and you're invited to call in to Imperfect Brilliance with your questions, Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I look forward to connecting.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right, you guys, we are talking about the contribution that animals are to us and what we can be for animals with the lovely Ashley from Alberta, Canada. And she told us a little bit, if you're just joining in now and missed the first segment, she told us of a couple of examples of how in asking her horses to contribute, some of the magic that has shown up. And so in even just acknowledging that they contribute to you, they contribute energetically, they contribute financially, they contribute in all places. In having, did you always feel like that, or was that something that shifted over time?
I always felt like that, Betsy. It was like I always knew as a kid growing up, I always had more of me when I was either around animals or small children. And I didn't actually get what that was until I found the tools of access consciousness. Because, I mean, the older we get, the more that we function from judgment and interesting points of views. And when you are aware, like I am, I'm a bit of an X-Men, being around people that are judging or people that have a lot of points of views has never been ease for me. So the places where I found ease were with animals. Now, what I love about the tools of access is the body processes and asking the questions is the only thing that I felt on the planet actually gives back the amazingness to the animals. Because I always felt like they contributed so much to me and my life and my living, but I've never found anything that gifted them the ease and the space and the joy that they've gifted me.
Well, I'm glad you brought that piece in, because that was going to be some of my next questions is, you know, we're talking about the contribution that animals are to us, you know, and the joy and the non-judgment that they give us and the happiness, you know, whether it's a bird or a frog or, you know, it doesn't have to be a big animal like a horse. You know, there's so many animals for people, different animals that will bring people joy. You know, something that might freak one person out, like I meant a frog or a snake or even a spider, the next person loves them, right? So everybody is going to have their animals that they kind of gravitate to. So with that, whatever the animal is that might be giving you joy or the non-judgment that we've been talking about, what can we gift to the animals, and not from this place of feeling like you have to save them? But so can you talk a little bit about that distinction between contribution and saving them?
I sure can, Betsy. So I'll just give a couple of examples for me. Like, I have a couple dogs and I also have a horse. So when I talk about the dogs, I'm the pack leader.
Okay.
And I'm the leader from the space of they're looking for someone to lead. And sometimes you have dogs that can be the pack leader and are really good at it. And then you have other dogs that don't have that, you know, secureness in their world. So they're looking to the person in their life to be that pack leader. Well, I have always been that space of what contributes to my pack is like, I'm the boss. What I say goes. you don't actually get to run around and walk around or walk all over me. And the same thing goes in my herd. But it's interesting because my horse has lived alone the majority for the amount of time that I've owned him. And people have said to me, well, Ashley, you, why don't you have another horse for your horse so that he has a herd? And Newton, my gelding, doesn't actually have a point of view about that because he knows that I'm his herd.
Okay.
But that's an energy that I'm willing to be that, you know, it took me a while to get here.
And so in taking a while to get there, what do you mean by that?
Well, there were times like in my early 20s where I would let a horse, you know, walk all over me, or I would throw a leg over his back and, you know, he would do something and I'd be like, oh, he's going to buck me off. I have to get off. Whereas now I'm like, no, there's a demand in my world. No, that's actually not occurring. And no, Spook, you are going to sit down and you are going to stay for a minute before you get to go play with the other dogs.
And so in that change in the way you communicate with the animals, what has that done for the way they communicate with you?
They have more space. They also, it's interesting. And I also allow them to be them in other situations. So when someone comes to visit me, he's actually a blue heeler cross, he gets excited. And years ago, I would have given him heck for that. And now I actually am like, no, he's just matching my energy. And I, you know, led him to a point of, you can sit down, you don't jump all over people. But whereas before I would have just judged that as wrong. So mm-hmm. What I contribute to him is that he can actually be more of him.
Okay.
To a degree, there's a, like, if he wants to pick a fight with someone, that's like, no, dude, you have to sit down and behave.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead. What were you
when I say? And also he's a little bit quirky like I am, so he rides in my pickup truck with me all the time, and he likes to visit people just as much as I like to visit people sometimes, and he'll get in the truck and he'll start singing along with the music. And I don't think that would occur if I controlled him and made him, you know, listen all the time. So there's that space that he's allowed to be him. Like if he'd like to sing, he can sing.
Okay. So you're not trying to control every single thing that he does.
Correct. I mean, there's behavior things. Go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah, that was, no, that's fine. I think you were hearing my next question, which is you've got, you know, control stuff, then you've got behavioral stuff. So how do you know when the difference is? And because I can hear people's heads going, yeah, but you got to do this and you got to do that. So can you address that?
I sure can, Betsy. So for like, I grew up in, like on, my dad has had cattle my whole entire life, and my whole entire family has had points of views about how a dog is to behave. We're not so much of a family that has, you know, a dog that sleeps in your bed with you, or a dog that, you know, does whatever he would like to do. So for me, it's like making sure that I show my dog and my horse what works for me and correcting that behavior as soon as it happens, so that we all know what's required. So for example, yesterday I hopped into the shower real quick, and I have two dogs right now. and the bigger dog barked at the little dog, and it sounded pretty aggressive, and I was soaking wet and naked, and I like get out of the shower and I'm like, what is going on in this house? Boop, you don't behave like that. Go lay down, mind your manners. And he went and laid down, and he didn't move until I got out of the shower, because I was like, you no, that's not a behavior that works here. And it's interesting how he knew that it didn't work before I actually come out of the bathroom.
Yeah. That's so true. You know,
yeah,
we do talk a lot about, you know, energy is our first language, you know, so I'm sure you were being very energetically, like, there was no mistaking your energy that, hey, this is not okay. This does not work in my world, and knock it off. You know?
Totally. Well, and I find like the best way to communicate with both my dog and my horse is to actually show them pictures of what I'd like them to do.
Okay. So say more there.
So, through Access Consciousness, if you desire to create a greater communication, communion with your animal, you pull energy through them and then through you and keep that going. And then you show them pictures of what can occur or what you would like them to choose. So I'll just give an example just so that everybody, when I moved from my hometown, my yard was fenced, and Spook would go out in the yard and, you know, do his business, and then he'd come back in. And when I moved with the horse and the dog to the acreage, there was no fence. And what happens in the country is if you have a dog that is chasing cattle, farmers, ranchers have the right, anyone that's in danger, anyone or anything that's endangering their livestock, they have the right to shoot to kill it. So what I did was I pulled the energy through him and then through me so that there was a connection, and he was sitting on the floor next to me, staring up at me like, what's going on, lady? Show me. And I showed him pictures of if he left the yard and went and chased cattle, that someone would end up shoot him. And Betsy, he never left the yard.
So it was like communicating with him through pictures that you thought in your head, not that you sat and drew pictures
right.
on a piece of paper and
yes.
put it in front of him.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so I literally pulled the energy, thought the thoughts in my head, and he was connected to me, and he saw the pictures as well. And in the 5.5 years that we were there, he never left the yard.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I mean, he'd go on a tour every once in a while, but I could always whistle him back, and he was back within 2 minutes.
Wow.
So you can actually have that much ease with your animals if you're willing to use the tools of Access. That's the most ease I've ever had with an animal to create something different and greater.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as you're giving us some of these examples, what's coming to mind, too, is even how when you're trying to control something, a lot of times, you know, the tendency is to rebel against it, you know, whether it's in a child, another person, and where we think that it would be different with an animal is just kind of like, oh yeah, you know, so it's 'cause my mother has this great dog. He's two years old now. He's a great little puppy. And, you know, she'll just start yelling at him. And it's like, that's not the way to get him to, you know, stop the behavior that she doesn't want him to get. But just by screaming at him, she gets louder, but it doesn't stop his behavior.
Right. And you have to be willing to be like, you do that again and I'll kill you myself with my bare hands.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's a very different energy. But that's also how they behave in a pack.
Mm.
And that's how they, like, a lead mare will always make sure that everybody's in line. And that may mean a swift kick. And then it's to get everybody in line. And then it's done and over with.
Okay.
There's not the trauma drama on it.
Gotcha. If there's no trauma and drama and it's just a quick kick, as you said, so what is it then with the trauma and drama? What does that actually create?
Well, they don't actually get it. They're like, what? What are you doing? Why are you, what are you still upset about?
Okay.
So it just causes confusion in your horse and your dog's world.
And that confusion can lead to more behavioral, you know, what we would consider behavioral issues, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's really clear. All right. A good place for our second break, you guys. We'll be back in just a couple. Thanks for listening.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're having a really interesting conversation today with Ashley. And Ashley, we're talking all about animals and behavior and energy and what they can contribute to us, what we can contribute to them. And I would also love for, if anybody's interested in finding out some more about you or like, where could they find you after the show is over? Hello? Okie dokie. Okay.
Oh, I did too. Sorry, guys. you can actually find me on Facebook. That's the greatest way to get a hold of me. Or Instagram. And you can also find me on the Access Consciousness website.
Great. Thank you. And Can you spell your last name for everybody?
I sure can. M little c big c A U G H E Y.
Fantastic. McCaughey. Thank you so much. Thank you. And if anybody's looking for me, they can find me, of course, on Facebook, Instagram, and my website is www.creatingyumminess.com. So, Ashley, do you, well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the, because I do know that this is a contribution. So, and that is energetic body processes that you can actually run on the animals, and what you've seen that can contribute to anything.
Oh, I love this question, I love this question. So there is a rodeo up here. It's my hometown rodeo, and it's seven days long. And since I was 12 or 11 years old, me and my family and all of our horses have volunteered and chased cattle for the timed events. So the steer wrestling and the team roping and the calf roping. And I had literally found I think I took my first Essie class with Susie Godsey in August. And of course the Pinocchio Stampede's the end of June, beginning of July. And it's called Butte, and you give it to your horse if he's sore. And about the fifth day of Pinocchio Stampede 6 or 7 years ago, I was having to medicate my horse and give him some Butte so that I could still use him and ride him. He's just tender. He's worked a lot. So I took my Essie class in August, and the following year, I got on my horse for the whole 7 days at Pinocchio Stampede. And one of the tools that they taught in Essie I think I had also taken a Conscious Horse, Conscious Rider class, is a body process called MTVSS. And the suggestion was that every time you got on your horse, you just reached down on his shoulders and turned that process on for him.
Mm. Okay.
And at Pinocchio Stampede the next year, I started doing that. And then I just asked it to run the whole 7 days. And I did. The cool thing was that I did not have to butte my horse. Like, he didn't need medication, and we're 5 years later and I still haven't had to give my horse medication so that he can still do his job.
That's amazing. So and then there might be people listening who don't know what Essie is. So would you explain that a little bit, please?
Sure. So Essie, it's an acronym for Energetic Synthesis of Structural Embodiment, and it's a body work that Susie Godsey and Andrew Gardella, they teach the class. And it's you can do it on a person's body, a dog, anything with a body, more or less. And it's like yummy energy. And I wasn't at the class, but horses, what occurs is they have bowed tendons in their legs, and they end up not, like, you can't ride them anymore. They then get retired. And Susie did some Essie on a horse in Costa Rica, and the bowed tendon actually healed itself with the energy work that Susie did. Yeah. So it's really amazing. It's a little bit difficult to explain once you've taken a class. You just ask the energy to run. And I always ask when I get on my horse, what energy can I contribute to you? Like, what does your body require for you and I to have ease here?
Go ahead.
And then when I usually go and chase cattle, my dog comes with me. as well as when I'm riding my horse. So I also, when I turn it on my horse, I actually also turn it on in my dog.
Well, that was going to be one of my other questions, is like how has the relationships between all of the different animals, what change have you seen there with the changes that you've talked about during this time?
Well, and it, with the dog and my horse, Betsy, is that what you're asking?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you asked that, because when I first started riding Newton, he was actually my grandfather's horse, and he disliked dogs. So if a dog got behind him and followed behind him, he would actually kick at the dog.
Okay.
And that shifted and changed so much that, like, Spook can trot along behind Newton right on his heels and he's fine.
Wow.
So we're kind of like this really cool herd / pack that travels together, and we all contribute to one another. And yeah.
That's really, really neat. And then how has that contributed to relationships with humans?
Oh, that's a great question. Well,
thanks.
That's a great question. Massively, because I have been, I will ask questions. Okay, if a person was to behave like my dog's behaving right now, like, my dog would get in trouble. So why am I allowing a person to actually treat me like that?
That's a really good point.
Or my horse, like, when I lead my horse anywhere, like, he must respect my space and what I'm doing and follow my lead. Not that everyone requires to follow my lead everywhere, but in my surroundings, this is my space and, you know, my life, and this is where I'm going. And if they're not willing to contribute, or they're going to walk in and walk all over me, that's not going to work either.
Yes. Very well put. So you are just, you're very clear. It sounds like you're very clear with your animals about, you know, their boundaries, what's okay, what isn't okay, you know, and giving them that direction so that they don't have confusion in their world.
Correct.
Would that be a good way to sum it up? Okay.
Yeah. And I also, so when I've had my dog now, this August, it'll be 11 years. And when I got him, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, if there's something super wrong with you, a $3,000 vet bill doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to look after yourself so that that doesn't actually occur. Or a $3,000 vet bill means you get put down.
Okay.
Which I know is a very, very different point of view, but I have never had a vet bill over $350.
Mm-hmm.
So when you actually, like, give them what works for you, they then have choice.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that, like, I would be very upset if my dog chose to go. It's more from a space of, well, this doesn't work for me. You can then choose. But all of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then, and I'm not completely controlled by the animals in my life either.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm thinking of actually a couple of different people I know that are very much controlled by the animals. And they may not think that they are, but, you know, just looking at certain pieces of it. And it's, I wonder where, you know, just in looking at, I'm not even quite sure what my question is here. It's if there was more clarity in the roles. So you've mentioned several times about the herdmen, you know, like leading the herd or leading the pack. And so with the leader, is there always a very clear leader in the animal world? Does that rotate, or is it always the same, like, dominant being? Well, and then, yeah, tell us a little more.
Yes
there.
And no, like, it kind of, so, I mean, I can only speak to, like, when you, let's say you have a herd of horses, and then you get a new horse, and you bring that horse in, then that kind of changes the herd dynamic, but you always know who the herd boss is. And here's just a quick example is the horse that my dad used to ride. He's now retired because he's got a few years on him. I would say he's about 25 years old. And he was the herd boss. And when my dad got another horse, the new horse, his name is George. George is now the herd boss, and he eats first and then so on and so forth. Like, and nobody farts around. Like, he just keeps them in line. Like, the other horses don't chase other horses. George is like, nope, this is how it is. And that's how I am with my herd and my pack.
Okay. It's a really, really interesting conversation. And even looking at the way I've been with the animals in my life, I'm like wondering, as you know, we will eventually have my mom's dog full time, and in looking at, okay, so she's created a certain relationship with him and allowed certain behaviors that to me are like not okay. And it'll be really interesting. So how do you, like, in this situation, I didn't mm-hmm. have the dog, you know, from the beginning, but I will, you know, he's in our lives and he's a very sweet being. And there's a couple of things that are like just not okay with me, with things that he's done that he's just never been taught or shown that that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not by any fault of his own. So I'm wondering, like, what would you suggest for somebody who might have a situation like that, or even for me, what would you suggest doing?
My suggestion would be to, like, make sure that you pull energy and you connect with him, and okay. you also show pictures, but you also have to be willing, like, a mother of a batch of puppies, she'll put her puppies in place. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you know, kick the crap out of the dog to make sure that
right.
the dog listens. I mean, and I've been taught by, you know, a rancher, I've never hit my dog, but when he mm-hmm. was not behaving, the first thing that I do is grab a hold of his ear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the softest place on the body, and it gets mm-hmm. their attention, and it's quick, and you release. So it's quick, just like a mom would be with their puppies.
Okay. That's a cool
just
thing. Yeah.
For them to have an awareness of, no, that doesn't actually work for me.
Yeah. Okay. And it's going to get their attention if it's a tender spot and you're not, like you said, you're not abusing the animal, which, you know, certainly not, I don't have any desire to do that. But when they're, you know, when he's jumping up and down on people, and not everybody loves dogs, and like they'll come to her apartment and here he is so happy and excited to see somebody, and he's jumping up and down and got sharp nails and all of that stuff. And it's like, no, you know, and so then she just starts yelling and like, that's not going to get him to stop. So that's a cool little trick. See, look at that. I learned something new today. I didn't know about the tender spot on the ear.
Yeah. My dad actually taught me that I've seen a lot of people try and go to kick their dog when they're
yes.
misbehaving, and yes. the dog's so quick that you don't actually you know, get contact with the dog. And it's just this interesting dynamic that gets created. Whereas, like, with Spook, if he's misbehaving and I've asked him to stop and he hasn't stopped, then I call him to me and I pinch his ear and I'm like, that's it. And then that reaffirms to him that, oh, right, I forgot myself for a second, which I do give him the benefit of the doubt sometimes that, oh, right, you forgot yourself. It's okay, but stop doing that.
Yeah.
And it's also about consistency, too.
Yes, that was my next question, you know. And, oh, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you, Betsy. It was so much fun.
All right, you guys, have fun experimenting with energy and hack and everything else, and what contribution can we be to our animals. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, honey. Have a great day. Bye, guys.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.